Does traditional employer brand measurement still work? Sure, things like retention rates and cost of hire matter, but more often than not, these data points are not solely based on your employer brand. So how do you actually measure your employer brand? More importantly, how do you measure if the strategies you have put in place to improve your employer brand have worked? This is where the Employer Brand Index comes in. It analyzes what your employees, candidates, and alumni are saying about your company, and quantifies these findings into a single number indicating what areas work and which don't. Want to learn more? Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, Sunsvason! It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Now, this week, we're going to talk about employer brand from the inside out. How does storytelling impact recruitment and retention? Well, we'll find out in today's show. Christine Dudley, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good, thanks. And I should say, hey, son, Svejson, because you have got a Swedish connection, haven't you?
I do. I have a Swedish grandmother, and I've spent some time in Stockholm, and I'm a big fan.
Fantastic. So please let our listeners in on who you are and what you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today. My name is Kristen Dudley, and I'm a workplace video producer and the founder of CoCreate, a startup dedicated to helping everyone love where they work. I started CoCreate a little over a year ago after stepping outside of my post at Comcast NBC Universal, where I had launched the employer brand function in 2013.
Fantastic. And today we wanted to focus in on employer brand from the inside out. So can you tell us what that means, why it's important, and why right now?
Absolutely. So I'll share that when I began my my experience in employer branding, I was coming from the managing the user experience and product design team at Comcast, where I truly loved my job and I loved where I worked. But at the time, we were really struggling to attract talent to the organization. And a lot of that had to do with our brand and who we were perceived to be from the outside. And so I grew really frustrated, realizing that what I knew from the outside was not radiating outward. And so I became very passionate about providing that window. So next thing I knew, I found myself within, under the HR umbrella and learning about all of the talent attraction challenges across the organization, and that's when I dove headfirst into telling stories in the only way I knew how, which was, honestly and authentically. Coming from user experience design, we are very, very committed to human-centered design, and all of that comes from being informed by real user behaviors and their needs that we would study and survey. And so that's how I approached defining the employer brand for our organization, something that a tactic that that I came up with was in becoming an internal anthropologist. So truly uncovering who we were as a culture and as an employer, in order to be authentic with those who were interested in listening in, and knowing that by being really authentic and honest, that we were going to be attracting the right people to our organization.
And is there any particular reason that this is more important right now, or has that always been the case?
So, I think that it's important to focus on how our unique communications not only impact the external talent, but also inspire the workforce within. So I think that the responsibility on employer brand is growing, and that, you know, our greatest critics are going to be from within the organization, those employees who are living and breathing the workplace and creating the workplace as it is. And so if we're not authentic in our outward messaging, you know, certainly that's going to be felt internally. But, you know, in regards to the pace of change for our employees, how quickly they want to move into other roles and responsibilities, you know, jump from job to job, in order to retain them, we certainly should be inspiring them as well. And so, you know, I think that that our communications can provide transparency between department walls, you know, giving employees the opportunity to see what else and what other opportunities they have in front of them. I think that it supports retention, again, in that internal mobility. It also can inspire cross-departmental innovation. And I think that, you know, this is, again, the employer brand space, the responsibility, I think, is expanding to all of these touch points.
Fantastic. Okay, could you give us a step-by-step guide on how to, well, your approach at least, to do employer branding from the inside out?
Sure. So as I mentioned, that internal anthropologist role, putting on that hat, and you know, that would be the first step. So starting with by interviewing employees and you know, spending time with them in order to really realize who they are, what it's like to work within their jobs, what a day to day is like for them. And really getting to know them. This was a great benefit for me in my experience within my role at Comcast, to spend that time one-on-one with employees from all levels and functions within the organization to really understand who they are so that I could better tell their stories and represent them, when looking to find those complementary individuals. So, secondly, when you are going to learn about the people in your workplace, don't just focus on the day to day, but understand who they are outside of work. This has been really effective in simply better understanding and being able to share the lifestyle of the folks that are making up your organization, which is content that I've found has been particularly useful in our engagement externally. So when I've done campaigns in the past, I've shifted to split my content strategy up into different categories. And one of those categories being, you know, content built by third parties that simply speak to lifestyle. And that could be, you know, in regards to the location of our offices or the different opportunities outside of the office walls. Third, in regards to these steps, finding leaders who appreciate what you're doing, asking if you can present to their teams and share your work. I found it particularly effective to roadshow our work throughout the employee population so that they could see how we were representing the workplace externally. And this was a really great way to onboard and evangelize internal brand ambassadors and to help them, you know, feel the same sort of passion that we did for telling the stories of our workplace. I think most of your listeners have heard and know that, you know, there's only so much we can do from the company brand voice. And so it's really through our people that the employer the employer brand comes to life and is trusted. So being able to go on a road show internally and speak about your work, I think that that's a really important opportunity. And then lastly, get involved and aligned with the different employee engagement experiences that are happening within your organization, and begin getting involved in helping to design those team offsites or team building activities, or fight for this work to happen. So, again, if we're responsible for providing transparency into the workplace, we want to make sure that it is healthy on the inside. And I was very fortunate when I started in my role at Comcast in that I felt confident in, that the cultures that I was representing were working. But, you know, as you go deeper, certainly, you know, there is the opportunity to find ways to enhance that as well. So I think that from this post, we're able to recognize where those opportunities lie, and so we can raise a flag to make sure that the employee experience is all that it can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so when you talk about finding these stories and telling these stories, what does the output look like? Are we talking about video here, for instance?
Yeah, so a lot of my work was and still is to produce realistic job preview videos, so day in the life videos. In these instances, my approach has been to truly capture a day in the life. So we will film for 8 to 10 hours to shadow the employee for a full day. Wow. of work, both inside and out. And then we edit that down into, a 3-minute preview in order to enhance job descriptions and to provide that transparency. So this again is where I started my approach to employer branding. We did a tour across the organization to capture these day in life videos of our top 25 most hired for or desired for positions, and display those across our careers website and attach them to those job descriptions. And it created an incredible foundation for me in, again, better understanding who we were. And so if folks have that opportunity to spend that time, I highly recommended it. I dedicated a year to that tour at Comcast, and I think that it's a really great place to start.
And so you picked 25 people in different roles then. What would be the criteria? Is it that these are the 25 roles that we continuously hire for, or the ones that we struggle to hire for? How would you recommend going about it?
Yeah, so the way that we captured it was our most hired for or desired for positions. So most hired for would be those high volume roles. So yeah, the care agents and folks who are doing sales, and then desired for, folks that represented executives for executive search, or those in the more unique roles in technology or design. That's how we prioritized, certainly looking at where we were receiving the most applications and where we were struggling the most to retain talent as well.
And you mentioned that on the inside you should have an anthropologist. I guess you were the anthropologist at Comcast. Does that person always have to be an internal employee, or could that be a consultant coming in and doing same sort of discovery journey?
I think that it certainly can be somebody from the outside. It's just a matter of that time. Again, I think that it was unique that I had the opportunity to produce as many realistic job previews as I was, and spend that quality time with those teams. But certainly, you know, bringing someone in externally to support better understanding the teams that you're working for, I think that would be fantastic and well worth it. I wonder how that would impact the intake between hiring manager and recruiter when you know, even designing the job description, because I think it can be really difficult for hiring managers to clearly communicate, you know, who their team is and the type of culture they are. Sometimes you just have to witness it.
Yeah, got it. Okay, and you also I read somewhere that you wrote that you're more interesting than you think, as in you in the job role there. What do you mean by that? Can you elaborate?
So something that I've found is that a lot of the jobs that we perhaps are not highlighting or giving a lot of time to, you know, thinking that, hey, they're just simple jobs to fill, that there are no simple jobs to fill, that there's, you know, there's definitely, you know, interesting parts to all roles within an organization. But what I found is that it's the moments between the responsibilities, the moments that really do make up the culture, that are the most engaging and interesting, and that will connect with folks externally. I call those the interstitial moments, and that's why we roll cameras for as long as we do when we go into film, because those little interactions, you know, help to paint the picture of what it's like to work in your organization and really help to capture the feeling of it.
Can you give us a few examples of the interstitial moments that are sort of video gold?
Sure. So, you know, the one day we followed a software engineer into a day of her work, and she was going to park her motorbike, and you know, noticed that the meter wasn't working. So she was going to have a good day. You know, just those sort of natural occurrences that helped to better paint the picture of what it's like to spend a day in her shoes. Other moments are just, you know, those interactions between employees where they have a laugh, or you know, they're sharing a story that you know, nobody would have ever known had we not been there to capture it.
It's interesting. So it's the less than obvious moments. So I guess when you think about your job, those are you wouldn't really think about those. Yeah. Those happenings.
Yeah. So, you know, when you sit down with leadership and they share what their priorities are in what we need to capture when telling the story about the job, certainly that's part of the production priority, right? And we want to make sure that that's part of the narrative that we move forward in capturing. But what I've found is that in all of our pieces, it's those little moments that are more human that tend to be sort of the highlight and what makes folks smile.
Great. So in regards to your success with video and content, what advice do you have for those who recognize the need to better tell their company's stories?
So the best piece of advice that that I like to share is in regards to approvals and navigating approvals. So especially when you're working in a large organization and you have to cover lots of different areas and jobs, again, time is of the essence, and this work can take a lot of time. So my trick in navigating the approval process, what I like to do is determine what stakeholders need to be a part of providing feedback for the project. Typically in the videos that I produce, we do three rounds of feedback. So I'll decide who's engaged in the first round, who's engaged in the second, and who's engaged at the end, usually saving our, our executive stakeholders perhaps for that, that end note. But my best advice is to work with each one of those individuals one-on-one and provide them the asset for their review via email so that they are reviewing on their own by themselves and providing feedback directly back to you. This is really the way to not take up a lot of time. I found when you get everybody in the room, especially over a creative asset, and they have a particular point of view on that asset, you could go around in circles all day. just working with them directly, and saving their time, and ultimately at the end, saving a lot of your own time and sanity. So it seems a little bit tedious, but overall, I trust that it saves you a lot of time in the end.
Yeah. Great. Okay. And are there any major pitfalls to stay clear of?
So, I just warn against never making assumptions about what your audience wants to see or know. Again, going back to sort of that foundation that I come from of human-centered design, you really want to study and observe and survey and question the people that you're recruiting, and also the people who are proudly representing those roles.
Great. Okay. And how can you help our listeners here to sell this into the business? And is there a business case that you can create, or is there ROI calculations?
One of my strongest stories, and it's very hard. I know it takes a lot of time in order to track how your branding efforts are paying off. One of my greatest success stories was actually in leveraging LinkedIn to attract technology talent to Philadelphia, where I'm based. And over a year and a half, we were able to track the hiring of 163 technologists to Comcast.
Nice.
Who were touched upon our online campaign. And at the end of that, we were able to recognize that of those 163 hires, 65% of them were connected to us through the sponsored content that we had provided. And a lot of that content, again, was not just us, singing our own praises. A lot of that had to do with lifestyle, what it's like to live in Philadelphia, what good news was happening here at the time, in order to connect them with the lifestyle that surrounds this career opportunity. And so to give perspective, only 5% of those hires were attributed to direct in-mails on LinkedIn. So content absolutely was the winner in that effort. What I would report out on were, engagement metrics. And I also did a lot of tracking of our employer brand ambassadors, of our employees, and how they were connecting with their networks.
Great. Okay. So now you got me interested in what is the USP of Philadelphia to relocate to Philadelphia?
Oh, gosh. Wow.
What's the number one selling point?
Oh, well, I think it has to do with our food.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Is it steaks?
Yes, there is the cheesesteak.
That's the one.
There is the cheesesteak, yes. And it's delicious. There's actually a $100 cheesesteak at a steakhouse here in Philadelphia that you could try. But no, we have just some of the greatest restaurants in the world here, I would argue, and certainly a lot of passion for food. So a wonderful food scene, and yes, that type of content was always very high ranking in that campaign to attract talent to the city.
Nice. Okay. All right. And you mentioned your work now includes working on the external messaging of employer brands, but also supporting them internally. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know how you're approaching this, and also should internal and external messaging be different in any way?
Yeah. So one of the things that I've learned throughout the last 4 years in interviewing employees throughout the organization is that when I ask them why work here, what keeps you here, 9 out of 10 of those individuals would answer in the same way. And it was always something about the people that they worked with. So seeing that theme come to surface, I realized how critical our relationships are in creating a great workplace. And so when I decided to step outside of the organization a little over a year ago, I left holding on to this philosophy that top talent is happy talent, and happy talent loves where they work because they love who they work with. And so I'm fiercely focused right now on relationships and what can we do in order to build better relationships internally, in order to honestly create a great workplace. I have a master's degree in organizational dynamics. So I'm excited to now start leveraging that to pull some methods and go into the organization and support some team building and other efforts to support camaraderie. But also over the last year, I've been developing a product that I call Candidate Chemistry. And Candidate Chemistry is a card game that can be used to accelerate the relationships within. Where I've come to with that product is that, recognizing that every employer brand is different, what I'm doing now is I actually go into teams and organizations, and we work together to customize their own set of cards. And again, it's building a new form of communication currency for the employer brand. And employers can pull out these cards, for new hire onboarding or, even during a job interview in order to better connect the folks who are playing with one another. So in regards to how the employer brand lives both internally and externally. I don't think that it should be different. I think that it actually, you know, it should be the same on both sides. Yeah,
no, I definitely agree with you on that one. And that sounds really interesting about the cards. Is that also how candidates should negotiate their salaries? So whoever wins the game, they get what they want.
That's not a bad idea. I'll have to build that in.
but also these cards, are they a product that someone could buy off your website?
Yes. Actually, right now on my website is a version of the cards that I built with a company called Technically Media. They report on tech news, and so that particular version has again their voice applied, their unique brand voice. So certainly a great way to experience the product is through that version. And then I also have a generic version that folks can purchase as well.
Great. Well, that sounds like fun. I mean, nothing like bringing employer brands and making a bit more tangible. So I'm all for that. Great. Okay. So what's the next big thing around employer brand in your opinion?
So next big thing. You know, I'm very curious right now about Generation Z and or Z and their perspective on work. And I think that as employer branding professionals, that we have a real opportunity in rebranding work as a more lovable concept. You know, I'm not sure, you know, how to capture the next big thing, but I do think that stories will continue to be really, really critical. And I think that it's important that we continue to build these workplace stories in order to educate the next generation.
Absolutely. Great. Final question now. Where can our listeners learn more about your work? Where can they pick up some of these cards? And where can they connect with yourself?
Please do. So everyone can find me through my website, withcocreate.com. That's all one word. And on Twitter at KADUD or on LinkedIn under my name, Kristen Ann Dudley. I'll also be giving a workshop at the upcoming RecruitCon in Nashville, Tennessee on May 9th. So if you're going to be there, come say hello.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Kristen.
Thank you so much.
All right. I hope that was useful. Everything Kristen and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, how do you measure employer brand? Well, funny you should ask. We've developed the Employer Brand Index, employerbrandindex.co. And it's our way of finding out what's being said about your organization in an employment context. Our team of talent analysts collect all obtainable data points, analyze the patterns, and we deliver a report full of insights and with a clear action plan for your employer brand. And of course, a final score, which can be measured over time. You'll basically learn what part of your employer brand strategy works, and more importantly, which one does not work. So you can ditch that. The Employer Brand Index is trusted by companies such as GE and Unilever. So are you ready to establish your index baseline? Ping me at jorgen@linkhumans.com or just head to employerbrandindex.co. Right. Also, to make sure that you stay up to date on all things employer brand, that includes events, podcasts, articles, etc., head over to linkhumans.com and just scroll down on the page and you can sign up to our newsletter. It's sent about once a month, so it won't flood your inbox. Now, also, if you find this podcast useful, please, please, please do me a favor and write a review in Apple Podcasts. Just an honest review will do. It really helps us to get onto the radar of more listeners. Many thanks in advance for leaving a review. Okay, that's it for this week. Very good of you to tune in and look forward to catching up next time. Hey-doh!
How do you throw a solar system party?
No idea.
You plan it.